You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Wednesday, 2nd October. Today, in 2004, the first park run happened in London. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb studios in Gauteng, Johannesburg. On the show today, Petri Redenhurst from Herenia Capital Advisors, Capitec Results. It just, man, that chart is something else in its entirety. And results, HEPS and dividend up 36%. Can't argue with that. Attila Kadikoi from Leventine & Co. Why investors should prioritize predictable earnings over AI hype. And Gary Mockler from GTC. What's wrong with the two-part system from their first month's experience? This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management. Morning headlines, MoneyWeb. Ramaphosa is back as government targets a 3.3% growth by the end of 2025. Collaboration between government and business is bearing fruit. Next targets are well beyond what most economists forecast. Business Day, new car sales heading for recovery, says industry groups. NAMSA data shows 44,081 new cars and commercial vehicles were sold last month. Morning markets, the US was red, S&P down 0.9%, NASDAQ down 1.4%. Easter's mixed. Sydney is down 0.1%, Tokyo's down 1.7%, but Hong Kong up 6%, Tencent up 6.9%. Commodities gold, green, gold 2,681, Brent 74.57, Platinum 1,008, Palladium 1,009, Rand 17.35, Bitcoin 61,700, and top 40 opening call 490 points to the green. That's a 0.6% upside open.
MoneyWeb Now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Trading now with Petri Redenhurst from Herenia Capital Advisors. Petri, appreciate the early morning time. I was looking at the Capitec results yesterday and thinking to myself, wow, these are great numbers. Went and had a look at a chart and it's just it's doubled in what, a year, from about 1,500 to just over 3,000 Rand, which kind of then this morning looking at China and Hong Kong makes me think of those charts. It's been an astounding run for Capitec. Might be expensive, but it is delivering on all sorts of fronts.
Yeah, compared to the Hang Seng, though, those are rookie numbers. yeah, it's been, a fantastic performance. I think that, obviously, some time ago, we all, even myself, were singing the tune of, maybe the Viceroy guys are right. Maybe Capitec's growing too fast. It can't be. And if you look at the results they put out now, it's amazing. Let me just have a look here. What was it? The headline earnings per share up 36%, which is interesting because it's diversified earnings. Put it that way, right? So they've got insurance and credit impaired, or insurance products is up something like 30%. Sort of net transaction and commission income was up 29%. What's happening is they're basically just winning more clients, right? Active clients is 9% higher. Fully banked clients, so clients who do all their banking with only one bank, being Capitec, is up something like 13%, and the total banking clients grew something like 21%. Look, they obviously did do some acquisitions. They bought Mercantile, which I'm sure would have helped a little bit as well. To sort of grow those earnings as well. But, the thing that I think the market was very scared of many years ago is that Capitec was going out and giving loans to people who couldn't afford them and sort of indebting people beyond what was capable. And, all we needed was a bad economic time and the thing collapses. And, look at African Bank, and that was kind of the model, right? Mm-hmm. Well, we're now at a stage where the interest rates are being cut, so the consumers are going to be under less pressure. Capitec has weathered the storm, man, and their credit loss ratio is 7.6%, which is not bad.
Yeah,
I know. The absolute darling, which came crashing down at some point too, was SA Taxi, with a credit loss ratio of below 3% in the good times, and then COVID kind of ruined that. As where Capitec survived, right? Yes, fine. The credit loss ratio is a bit higher, but they're a robust banking business, and they're done phenomenally well. And if you look at the way the price chart, I think you and I were talking about it yesterday, It's hard to believe that the share price on this stock is 3,084 Rand.
Yeah, and that chart is just kind of absolutely vertical. It is completely insane. You mentioned China. I mentioned in the intro there, Hong Kong. I mean, a quick answer there. I mean, that really has gone vertical. I mean, literally in 2 weeks, China and Hong Kong have erased 2 years of losses on their markets. It is astounding what I was going to say a little bit of stimulus, but let's be honest, what a lot of stimulus does.
A lot of it's a stimulus, yeah. So it's sort of like Hong Kong 50. Is up 27% in how many days? 8 days. Eight trading days. 27%. Hang Seng. I'll use a bit more data, but all right, it's also kind of used from the 23rd of September, so we got about what, 10 days. Also 7 days.
Yeah.
7-8 days, up 25%.
Yeah.
I've never seen anything like this. It's an exciting time. I mean, there's obviously stimulus and stuff, but I think that this look. It's sometimes even a broken clock is right twice a day, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think you and I have chatted about. Yeah, China's the place to invest. We've got to buy Chinese tech. We've got to buy Chinese general index. Ease up on the U.S. tech and kind of lean into China a little bit. Man, it feels good to be that broken clock from time to time.
Yeah, and it has been. I mean, I've never seen anything like it. I've seen it on the downside, but this was a crash up, which is a weird thing, which I think we're not quite used to. We'll leave that there. That's Peter Radenhurst, Hyrynia Capital Advisors. A question today, LinkedIn and Twitter, is around those Capitec results. Do you hold the stock, or do you look at it and think, man, that's expensive. Maybe you prefer other banks. But let's be clear, those results, 36% up in HEPS. I don't know, man. They justify that valuation. Have your vote. Have your say. LinkedIn and Twitter. The Standard Flexible Income Fund is designed for pre- and post-retirement income and capital preservation needs. Retire without regret with Stanlib Asset Management.
MoneyWeb now, on the money.
Chatting now with Attila Kadikoy, Leventine & Co. Managing Partner. Attila, appreciate the early morning. The much-worried recession fears seem to have faded in the US, but certainly we've seen some evidence of a slowdown in US growth. I mean, the PMI data yesterday kind of supported this view. It might not be recession, but it's probably going to be decelerated growth in the months and perhaps even year ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I would put a counter-argument and say we haven't... We can't say that there's not going to be a recession. There's still a probability in the first quarter. You're correct about PMI, but the labor market has continued to ease. That's always a good forward-looking indicator. Always look at the forward indicators.
Yeah.
You're seeing something people don't watch a lot is SMEs in the U.S. And you look at the SME data in the U.S., and their revenues are down compared to the third quarter 2023 quite significantly. So you're right, you know, we could have this Goldilocks scenario of a slowed economic growth, but we're definitely not out of the woods. When you look at the rate cuts, you know, a 50 big rate cut is quite preemptive by the Fed,
yeah.
Meaning, you know, we are slowing, so they took a big chunk off there.
Yeah, I take your point on that. Not the Fed panicking, but the Fed saying there's some stuff out there we don't like the look of. And if we sort of counter this with the AI hype cycle, and we are seeing, I mean, AI just, you know, maybe NVIDIA's off a bit, but if we look at what OpenAI and Sam Altman is trying to raise in terms of valuations for the companies, there was that Goldman Sachs report. It said AI, too much spend, too little benefit. We really are seeing massive hype coming through. Into, I mean, I don't want to say this is .com, but I remember that .com, and I remember, you know, things are different this time. I take that, but it kind of also feels a little bit the same, perhaps.
I mean, .com, crypto, Tesla. I like actually a comparison with Tesla because 2 years ago, I guess, you know, when it was peaking, Tesla was treated, I mean, it's a fabulous car, it's a great company. We're not arguing that, purely speaking, valuation-wise. And the same goes for AI. And, every market, when you come up with something, that's game-changing, competitors will follow. And consumers are price sensitive. You know, at the end of the day, we all look for the best value for what we're spending. So when the Chinese come into the market, good product, maybe not as complicated, maybe it doesn't have a self-driving, maybe, you know, but you're getting more for your buck, then the competition starts. And we have similar issues in, I think, in the AI, you know, what's the uptake? What are people willing to pay for? You know, there's quite a bit of unknown there.
And I take your point around Tesla. It, you know, we get excited with first movers. And in fact, if we're looking at this AI run right now, truthfully, we don't know who the winners are going to be in 5 or 10 years' time. There isn't much revenue happening there. I'm remembering AltaVista, Netscape, Yahoo, who were the poster childs of the .com. And you know, they're now kind of consigned to the history books, which then says, okay, we don't know who the winners are actually going to be in the AI. This is a hype cycle. We almost need to, I don't know, go back to basics and remember that investing is about businesses with proven track records and consistent profits.
Especially when you're going into a slowdown. I mean, something very rudimentary that I look at as an investor, and I think, you know, it's one worth considering, is out of my 1,000 rand, how am I spending my money?
Mm-hmm.
And where's the consistent spend? And when you're going into a slowdown, those are the companies with the consistent earnings, strong earnings, that don't let you down in that period. And it's boring, but it's the Unilevers, Procter & Gamble's. Interestingly enough, Microsoft, you know, everyone uses Microsoft, whether it's a bad day or a good day. And it's a given. And so there's these companies where they have consistent earnings, Diageo, for example. Yeah. Again, they're not the exciting names. They're not out there doing PR and trying to promote their stock price, but they're the ones you will see historically in slowdowns that outperform the market.
Yep, I like your point. They're the ones where we are spending some of our money every month. And maybe we're paying $20 to OpenAI or Anthropic or something. But as soon as times get a little tougher, that $20 is going to go into the basics. We'll leave it there. Telekade Koye, he's Leventine & Co. Managing Partner. Always appreciate the early morning. Let your money benefit from experience with StanLib Asset Management. Find out about StanLib Global Select Fund, which follows an investment discipline that has delivered results for 3 decades.
MoneyWeb now, on the money.
I'm chatting with Gary Mockler. He's CEO of the financial advisory firm GTC. Gary, appreciate the time. The two-pot system, it's now been just over a month that it's been around. As a concept, maybe not a bad idea. Perhaps the sticking point is in the correct use of it, perchance.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, Simon. I have strong views on the matter. I've been in the industry a long time. Mm-hmm. In the 1980s, I think it's 1981, there was a preservation of pension funds proposal, a bill. There were shots fired in Joburg. I think it was largely union pressure. And the bill was aborted or repealed or whatever happened back then. So there's been an attempt to preserve retirement benefits forever. There's an active movement from members to have quite the opposite. I think that's largely driven by ignorance or a lack of understanding of financial principles. I can't answer specifically as to what it is, but I think it's an anathema. Any attempt to erode retirement savings before retirement cannot be a good thing. Now, that needs to be qualified. If I'm a government official, I'm rolling my eyes round about now. Gary, what do you think we miss? No, the unions are demanding it. The members want it. And I think the two-pot has worked. What they've had to concede in terms of the 30,000 cap relative to the preservation they've gained. If I'm working for government, I'm high-fiving my colleagues and going to lunch because I regard it as success. I think they have. Having said that, the eroding of retirement savings before retirement is not a good thing. In GTC's life, we've had a lot of responses in WhatsApps to what I think has been a very good campaign. We've achieved our two-pot processing extraordinarily well. This isn't a sales pitch, and I'm not So let me move on. But the WhatsApps that came in, a number of them said, great experience, easy to do. Look forward to doing the same thing next year as I plan for my daughter's schooling fees from this, whatever, that sort of message. I mean, that's great. We've been congratulated on delivering a good service. But there is someone who is now using their retirement monies to fund ... school fees. And that's what I think is wrong. So I think this has morphed into something it shouldn't have been. And I think it largely points to members, an audience that is not sufficiently financially literate and is probably financially poor. If we are eroding our retirement savings before retirement, and I can see from our record, some of those claims are from people earning material amounts of money in senior positions in businesses. It's not just the lower end of the market. It is across the board. Why? And it distresses me.
It was. I mean, I remember this whole two-part first popped up during COVID. There was a plan to kind of make sure that it was for emergencies only.
Correct.
You know, you just can't define emergency. I mean, how do I prove my emergency? And in a sense, I can get it if I need, I don't know, heart bypass and I need some money. Okay, maybe it makes some sense. I am going to erode my retirement, but at least I will get to my retirement. But in counseling members who were withdrawing, to your point now, it's been used for day-to-day expenses.
We counsel, I think we're one of the few administrators, we've regarded two-part as an essential counseling process. Mm-hmm. Section 36 changed 2018, 2019, compulsory verifiable counseling that had to take place. So we deem two-part to be an important counseling exercise. And it's been very enlightening to see once we do engage with a prospective claimant and explain the concepts of basic financial planning, how then they will consider adjusting their monthly budget, i.e. dropping DSTV. I've nothing against DSTV, but it's 1,000 rand a month.
Yeah.
That is a luxury spend. And isn't that a better place to look for some immediate pain, but long-term saving, rather than the apparently easier process of just raiding the retirement larder? So I think it is a lack of education in many parts, and it is just the course of least resistance. Just to point this, Simon, chatting to a woman who explained to me that she was going to use her two-part withdrawal to put down the deposit on the house that she'd never been able to afford. That was quite sobering to me. So maybe it's not an emergency, but I would certainly agree with that. Why wait till you are 60 or 65 before you have the ability to move into your own house when she could use that money ahead of time for that? That was humbling. So, you know, it's not always emergencies. There are sometimes priorities that exceed that of retirement, and perhaps owning your own house before retirement is one of those. But I do think way too many people have slipped into the course of least resistance. And you're right, that terminology around emergency funding that came about in COVID was very quickly dropped. And I think not just the lexicon, not just the terminology, but the actual principle has also been lost.
Yeah. And the key point which you make is that regardless of the mean, this is going to compromise the retirement, regardless of how long you have, regardless of how much you're taking out, it will hit retirement. We'll leave it there. That's Gary Mockley, CEO of financial advisory firm GTC. Appreciate the time. That's it for today. I was chatting with Anthony Clark yesterday. We were talking small and mid-cap stocks and their potential. We asked if you were holding any. Almost two-thirds said yes, buying selectively. That's a fair point because, let's be clear, some of the smaller mid-caps are there because they're on their way down, but some really are offering great value. A quarter agreed, saying, yep, the value is excellent. The rest of you are saying, actually, you prefer large-cap stocks. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more certainty to navigate volatile market conditions. We're live every weekday morning, the MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie, Nubuchle, Nicole, to you for listening, my guests for their time. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. If you're loving the show, please leave us a rating and a positive review in your podcatcher of choice. We'll chat again tomorrow. The World Platinum Council.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.